Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
This sermon today is about ignoring the Lord. Ignoring the Lord. Now, please understand something. When I preach this message today, I am preaching it in the fear of the Lord. And here's the reason why. The Lord may have spoken to us in His words. He may have spoken to us in His preaching about a particular matter. And to think that we may have ignored Him is indeed a thought that causes a great deal of trembling. Today we are preaching about Balaam. And you read about him in Numbers chapter 22 through Numbers chapter 24. And we find by his responses to the word of the Lord that Balaam ignored what the Lord said. And often, I believe, that we also ignore what God is saying. And by ignoring the Lord, we get ourselves into a lot of trouble needlessly. Now, the Lord said to Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, Numbers chapter 22, and in verse 12, the Lord said this, "Thou shalt not go with them," number one, "Thou shalt not curse the people," number two, "and they are blessed," number three. In other words, here's how he said it. Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Now what is this? Well, Balaam had made an inquiry of the Lord at the behest of Balak through some messengers that had come to Balaam. And when Balaam spoke with the Lord about this, he said, "There is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." That was Balak's request. And God's answer was just as definite as you please. "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Now, at one time or another, Balaam ignored each part of this message. He ended up going with them. He attempted to curse the people. And they were indeed blessed. Why did Balaam ignore these words? If we can find out why Balaam ignored these words, I believe we can find out why we ignore them. So let's look in Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24. We're going to have to look at Numbers 31 as well to see what happened. First of all, Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to say all that the Lord had said to him. Notice in Numbers chapter 22, the Lord told him, "Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Watch what Balaam said. In verse 13 of Numbers 22, Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." Well, that certainly covers the first part of what God said, but it doesn't cover the second and third thing that the God said. And so Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to say all that the Lord had said unto him. You see, this is a very common practice among men of God. Take, for instance, Moses and Aaron in Exodus chapter 4. They had to go before Pharaoh, and they had to relate to Pharaoh, a very scary thing, a very strong words from the Lord. In Exodus chapter 4, in verses 22 and 23, God said to Moses and Aaron, "Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now, those are strong words. Okay? Well, when Moses and Aaron get to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, here's what they say. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Well, Pharaoh interrupted. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And then they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Watch it, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. Well, God didn't say anything about that. They left out half of what God said to them in Exodus chapter 4, verse 23, and added things to what God said to them in Exodus chapter 3, verse 18. In Exodus 3, 18, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. That's what God said. But they changed it and said, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword, and said nothing about, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Why? It's too tough. When God gives us a message, we are to deliver the whole thing, every bit of it, not just a piece of it. People today like to preach the gospel, but they don't like to say anything about hell. They like to preach the gospel, but they don't like to say anything about repentance. They like to argue about apologetics, but they don't want to get down to the heart of the matter of spiritual life. Those things are only part of the message. Listen to what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, God gives a vision and a message to Samuel. And in the morning, watch, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17, Eli wakes up and he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me, for God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all things that he said unto thee. Eli said, you don't cut out a word. Now would to God your people would come to church, or would to God you'd go to church with that same attitude. Don't hold a thing back from God. Whatever he said to you, tell me. But a lot of preachers are afraid to say what God said. Thankfully, Paul wasn't afraid to do that. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And I'll tell you today, there are a lot of people that shun to declare all the counsel of God because they're afraid of the negative part. Even good preachers, even well-known preachers, are afraid of the negative part. They won't say it. And so thus they ignore the Lord. When you ignore part of the message, either what the preacher preached when it is negative, you say, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Or when the preacher receives it from the Lord and won't say it, when you ignore part of the message, you will undoubtedly ignore the part that is the most distasteful to you and yet the one that will keep you out of trouble later. When a preacher refuses to tell people about hell, he refuses to keep them out of there. When he refuses to tell them about repentance, he refuses to give them the very necessary thing they need in order to depart from the world and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to say all that the Lord had said to him. More preachers today fail in that area than in just about any other area. You say, well, I'm disgusted so-and-so was caught in adultery or some scandal. I'm disgusted with that too, but I'm disgusted with preachers who get the whole message of God and won't tell it, failing to say all that the Lord had said to him. That's the problem with the preacher. The problem with the pew is you hear it, but you won't follow the part that pertains to you that's distasteful to you. And so you get yourself in trouble. Listen, when the preacher gives you the whole thing, or the Bible gives you the whole thing, you have to listen to every single word of it and follow what it says. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to say all that the Lord had said to him. And then the second thing is Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to recognize the deceitfulness of his own heart. Watch what happens in Numbers chapter 22. The men go away and tell Balak he ain't coming. So Balak sends them back. This time, men that are more honorable than they. In verse 16, they came to Balaam, Numbers 22:16, and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. In other words, he says, I'll give you whatever office you want, and I'll pay you whatever kind of money you want. Just curse this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. You know, that sounds real good, but that isn't the case with Balaam at all. He wanted some of that silver and gold, and he wanted the honor to which he would be promoted in verse 17. He wanted those things. It was easy for him to say, I don't and I won't, but what he said and what he really believed are two separate things. How easy is it for you to be a hypocrite and say with the one hand, this is what I'm here for, and with another, you've got your hand out for the money? Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to recognize the deceitfulness of his own heart. Balaam wanted the honor of prophesying for Balak, and he wanted the reward that came with it. You see, prophets were rewarded in those days. People paid money to hear what they had to say. You know what this is? This is called in Jude 11, the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam. Because he was given specific instruction by the Lord, but he could not keep his thoughts off of the money and the honor. And he was deceived by his own heart and could not recognize that. The Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You cannot trust your heart. You must only and absolutely trust what God says. I'll tell you this, many men who are in the ministry ignore the Lord and are in the ministry for personal honor and wealth. Now, you can hardly believe the things that you will do to get what you want. And these strong desires will deceive you into ignoring the Lord. Listen, you get on the television today and watch most of the preachers that are there, listen to a lot of the radio. Not all, of course, but a lot of it. And those men are there. Whether they will admit it or not, whether you believe it or not, they're there for the money and they're there for the honor. And they do not realize it. If you were to ask them, they are deceived by their own hearts. They really think we're here to have a broader ministry for the sake of the souls of the lost and dying in the world. Pachink, kachink, kachink as the money adds up in the bank. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to say all that the Lord had said to him, and Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to recognize the deceitfulness of his own heart. But I'll tell you something else. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to follow what the Lord said the first time. Look back again in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 12. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Right? We'll look at verse 19. After they come offering more honor and more silver and gold, right? Look what Balaam does in verse 19. Now therefore I pray you, tarry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. It's as if he's expecting the Lord to change his mind or to somehow give him the green light. He wants that money. He wants that honor. God doesn't have to say any more to him than he's already said. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. He's got the message. He doesn't need to go back to the Lord to find out if there's anything else. The Lord had no reason to tell Balaam any more than what he had already spoken. And Balaam needed to follow what the Lord said rather than see if he could hear something more from the Lord that would allow him to go to Balak. Now let me tell you something. When the Lord has denied you that it's time for you to let it go. When you say, oh Lord, please let me marry this woman, and the Lord says no, then let it go. Oh God, please let me have this job, and the Lord denies you, then let it go. Oh Lord, please let me have this promotion. Please let me have this or that, whatever the case may be. When the answer is no, let it go. That's kind of poetic, isn't it? When the answer is no, let it go. Ought to write a sermon about that. When the answer is no, let it go. You must quit ignoring what the Lord said and quit pushing. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to follow what the Lord said the first time. But then look. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to follow what the Lord had said the second time. Look in Numbers chapter 22 and verse 20. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, two letters, if. God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Listen. If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But, regardless, yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to follow what the Lord said the second time. The Lord said, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Well, he didn't wait. Verse 22, Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. He didn't wait for anything. He did not wait for them to call. He just saddled up and went with them. Because, why? That's what he wanted to do. Don't you see that when it comes to you and your ignorance of things of the Lord? When you have it in your mind or in your heart that something that you want is what you want, you don't care if God has a comment about it, even if the preacher says it and God repeats himself. If you want it bad enough, you're going to ignore him and go for it. Often you take a course of action because you're acting on the part of the message that favors what you want to do, without considering any limiting conditions the Lord has placed on your actions. Sometimes the Lord may say, okay, if this, if that, if this, then. And you forget about all those limiting conditions. You just jump right in there. For instance, I'd like to marry this girl. If she's saved, the Lord says, only in the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Well, you ignore that and jump right into the relationship. And then you wonder why it gets all shaky and sketchy into the relationship, because you've ignored the limiting conditions. Only in the Lord. You see? Now look, when the Lord gives you more light in his words, don't ignore a thing that he says. Balaam heard from the Lord, if. But he didn't listen, and he didn't follow. He ignored the Lord. And when the Lord gives you something, listen, I know times in my life where a preacher visiting here has no idea what's going on with me personally, gets in the pulpit, preaching a message right out of the Bible, God speaking to me about a specific thing. He leaves. 3 months later, another preacher comes in, speaks to me about the very same thing. And a week later or 2 weeks later or a month later in Bible reading, the very same thing. And another preacher comes, the very same thing. At what point do you think I need to listen to what God said and go about doing what he said to do? The first time. But for sure, if you don't do it the first time, the second time, don't ignore him. Now, Balaam ignored the Lord by what? Failing next to recognize God's resistance to his progress. Look at Numbers chapter 22 at verse 22. God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And what happens? Well, the angel of the Lord stands in front of the ass, and she turns out of the way. She crushes Balaam's foot against the wall, and finally she just falls down under him. He's so mad he wants to kill her. Then the Lord makes himself known to Balaam. In verse 31, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And then the Lord says, I'm doing this because your way is perverse before me. And then compliments the ass and says, if she hadn't turned out of the way, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Then Balaam says in verse 34, I've sinned. Do you understand God was mad at Balaam and he was opposing Balaam along the course he was taking? The Bible in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 calls this the way of Balaam. Listen, oftentimes in your life, God will put up obstacles in your path when you are heading in a way that displeases him. And you have to recognize that these are hindrances from the Lord. These aren't hindrances from Satan. And you can't ignore them. Some people say, boy, the devil's really after me. He's really trying to stop my, yes, my plans. Think through, if they are your plans, not God's plans, why would it have to be the devil that's trying to stop you? Perhaps like Balaam, it's God that's standing in your way. When you're ignoring him, for sure, if he loves you, he's going to stand in your way and try to stop you because you're going in a way that's going to hurt you, hurt your family, hurt your testimony, and God knows there's a better way, his way, not yours. Balaam ignored God by failing to recognize God's resistance to his progress, and you ignore God when you fail to recognize his resistance to your progress. Now, sometimes it truly is the hindrance of the devil, and I know those things can be hard to discern, but if you already have clear light from the Scripture and you're getting obstacles, why would you have to blame the devil? You've already been told by the Lord not to go the way you're going. Would it be any surprise that he's trying to turn you away from further consequences? I wouldn't think so. Balaam ignored the Lord by, first of all, failing to say all that the Lord has said to him. Secondly, by failing to recognize the deceitfulness of his own heart. By then failing to follow what the Lord said the first time, then failing to follow what the Lord said the second time, then failing to recognize God's resistance to his progress. And I'll tell you something else. Balaam ignored the Lord by failing to limit himself to the words of God. He said to those men, listen, he said this, that I can say neither more or less than what God said. Look at Numbers chapter 22 and verse 35. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shall thou speak. That thou shall speak. And eventually he goes, I'm talking about Balaam, and he tells Balak, I got to say what God said. The angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. Now that's all he was supposed to speak, and that's what he told Balak he was going to speak. But you know what? That's not all he said. He said more. Because in Numbers chapter 25, as soon as Balaam returns to his place at the end of chapter 24, when chapter 25 opens in verse 1, Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down unto their gods. And Israel joined himself under Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Listen, they had no inclination to do a thing like that. I mean, even Moab in their intentions and the Midianites in their intentions to try to kill Israel wouldn't have invited them to the sacrifices of their gods. You know where they learned to do a thing like that? From Balaam. It's obvious from Numbers 25 verses 1 and 2 that Balaam told Balak more than what God said. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 14, this is called the doctrine of Balaam. He taught Balak that God would destroy the Jews for fornicating with the daughters of Moab and for sacrificing to their gods. And that's exactly what the Lord did. 24,000 Jews died on this doctrine. Now, may I tell you something? You cannot ignore the Lord and add to God's words for any reason without terrible consequences. I think today about men that are in pulpits today that have led them, their churches into modernism, that have been adding things to the word of the Lord in order to get up a crowd. And I'm going to tell you something. While you don't see it now, you're going to see it in the future. That is going to be disastrous for Christianity, disastrous for those congregations, and even more disastrous for those preachers, and certainly for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. What I see today is the doctrine of Balaam has come into the churches. There is such a level of sensuality now, it will come full blossom into the sacrifices of their gods and the whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Why? You got to have something more exciting in order to keep the crowd. What could be more exciting than that? And I'm going to tell you what, it's going to have a devastating effect. And when you cooperate with it and you participate in it and you provide money to it, you're ignoring God, just like Balaam did. And when you do these things in your personal life, you're ignoring the Lord God. Listen, when the Lord gives you a limit by his words, you need to limit yourself to those words. And Balaam ignored God by failing to limit himself to the words of God. And then finally this. Balaam ignored God by failing to realize that God's blessings on Israel would result in God's curse against him. Back there in Numbers chapter 22, when God said, "For they are blessed," that refers you back to the blessing of Abraham. "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." And I'm going to tell you something. When Balaam advised Balak of the whoredoms and sacrifices that could hurt the Jews and thereby gain himself some honor and recognition and perhaps some financial gain, you know what? He opposed God. And when he did that, he ignored God's blessing on Israel. So guess what happened to Balaam? In Numbers chapter 31, verse 8, when the Lord sent the Jews to destroy the Midianites, watch what happened. Numbers 31, verse 8. "They slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword." Balaam died. He got killed by the sword. You know why? Because he ignored God's blessing on Israel. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot oppose Israel, the blessed nation, without putting yourself under a curse. You can't do it. Listen, this is the conclusion of the whole thing with Balaam. You cannot ignore God and get away with it. You can't. You must listen carefully to every word that God speaks concerning any inquiry that you have, and then when you hear what he says, you must follow everything he says the way he said it. If you step out and add something to it, or if you withdraw from the full counsel, you're in trouble. And the trouble may not be apparent the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, seventh year, eighth year, ninth year, or tenth year. But the trouble will come because you cannot ignore God and get away with it. Balaam tried it. If you read the prophecies in Numbers chapter 22, 23, or 23 and 24 of what he said, those are fabulous prophecies given by God through the mouth of that man. But I'm going to tell you something. In spite of the fact that he could speak God's words, he had been ignoring the Lord, and it got him. He died. You cannot ignore the Lord and get away with it. So please, quit trying. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.